They see this kid leaving and then coming back different. And that in itself tells a story right there.
They learn academics. They learn. They improve their English speaking and writing skills. They learn outdoor activities. They are challenged beyond their wildest expectations.
I like change. I like taking risks. I like being independent, being my own person. You know? Yeah. You learn like life experience that other people take a long while to learn, and you here you just learn it like, bam, 6 weeks. So yeah,
the whole scope of this job and this program is pulled on every experience I've had since before college. Basically, every job, every position of responsibility.
Berkeley is noted for being pretty high up there, a pretty high bar, and this program has got a pretty high bar. And it seems to be a great fit.
These students go back to their schools. They are better able to advocate for themselves, for their peers, to take on leadership roles. I have met with them about other activities post their summer experience, and they seem more self-confident, more able to express themselves.
These people are talking about Adventure Risk Challenge, or ARC, a program for at-risk Hispanic youth in California's Truckee Tahoe area. The program, which is unique, pairs outdoor education with English literacy. I'm Carolyn Crane, and this is All About ARC. Join me for the next half hour as we meet the 2005 ARC graduates, Selena, Fabian, Izzy, Jenny, Josie, Karen, and Tanya. We'll also meet their teachers and mentors. We'll see how the program changed and inspired these students and helped increase their chances of being successful adults in 21st century America. The ARC program spans 40 summer days. About half that time is spent in the base camp, the other half in wilderness settings near camp. Let's start with base camp, where the students' days begin at dawn on the cold mountain mornings. The students stretch and run before breakfast.
We want to see first.
Okay. We'll have to sit down.
Base camp is located at UC Berkeley's Sage Hen Creek Field Station, several miles from the town of Truckee. Four of this year's students are from Truckee, or nearby Incline Village in Nevada, and are used to the altitude. But three of the students are from the Bay Area city of Petaluma, and their bodies take a few days to adjust to life at 7,000 feet. After breakfast, the students turn to academics. Grammar, composition, and reading demand the students' concentration. Program director Katie Faces explains the students' level of English proficiency.
The kids we target are level ELD level 3, 4, 5, and out. But they're all English language learners, but they're all on the cusp of really leaving ELD designation. They've got high motivation. They wanna improve their English. They want to go to college. And it's vital for them that they learn how to communicate everything in their lives in English. What we see in many public high schools and many ELD classrooms and students is that students know how to say certain things fluently in English, but they don't communicate their feelings, they don't communicate their true selves as fluently in English. So the focus of our program is to fully integrate their life experiences, their leadership growth with their English learning, and push them over the edge and make a difference that regular high school can't do because they ultimately go home at night.
During the course of the 40 days, the students read aloud the entire text of the Phantom Toll Booth.
Said the king, as he clapped his hands, the little car was brought forward, polished like new. Milo got in, and with one last...
Students also write essays and poetry during their base camp days. They use the computer lab at the field station to work on composition and editing. Katie, who during the school year is an English professor at nearby Sierra Nevada College, is a demanding but encouraging mentor.
And when you write your essays today, when you start writing about your entire summer program and all the learning and all the transformation that you guys have had, you're going to have lots of time shifts, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to want to be talking about now and then back then, right? And then in the future, okay? So what I want us to do is practice. A lot of times when I read writing student writing, I'll see something like, we ate breakfast, period. Then we walked back up to Leo's lounge for class. Then we had grammar blast. Then we ate lunch. Then we got to read our books. Okay? You guys hear that? Then, yeah. Then? It's not that interesting, right? What are you saying?
There's too many thens in there.
Yeah.
While at base camp, each day ends with an evening meeting. Students and faculty alike take time to appreciate one another. They snap fingers instead of offer applause, and each day pass special necklaces with symbolic significance to another member of the program. The necklaces acknowledge leadership skills.
I felt like this person like really took care of us today and got us more in a positive mood and just really accepted the responsibility of being the leader, even though she wasn't expecting to be, and did a great job of really taking care of us after a tough night. What? So I'd like to give these beads to Karen.
Thank you.
She
just gave it away, and she was like,
she's still working.
I'm sorry. I'm joking.
During the 40-day program, students are not allowed to visit or speak to their parents. They may communicate only by mail. Katie explains why this is an important aspect of the program.
For students that are 15 and 16 years old, who've never left home before, leaving home and going on an adventure and committing to it and not quitting partway through is probably the biggest challenge of the whole experience. So what we do in order to address that is we try to minimize the chances for them to get even more homesick, or the chances for them to go home and not come back, and to choose the easiest way out. So structuring a six-week program, what we do is we ask the kids to, we give all the parents their addresses, and we ask them to write letters back and forth to their parents, which at first seems really hard, and then as they discover how wonderful it is to get a letter from their parents, and many of them have never received a letter from their parents, it becomes something that they really appreciate and enjoy. And many of the students at the very beginning have anxiety over not talking to their families, but by the end, they realize that they've become stronger and they're more ready to go on to college, they're more ready to take on any challenge. They know they can do it. And with this population in particular, with a big emphasis on family and on, basically with a big emphasis on family, many of them don't know when they come. They're not completely sure that they can make it 6 weeks without seeing their families.
Susie Cordero is a Truckee resident who volunteers with the program. As an Hispanic woman, she offers some insight into how difficult it is for parents to send their children to ARC.
It's extremely difficult for the Hispanic community to let their children go. Hispanics are typically very family-oriented. Their children are reared very close. They're kept very close at home. So for them to allow their children, not knowing fully what the program is, although Katie, the director of the program, comes and speaks to the family at home, explains the program, it's still difficult for them to let their children go.
In part, this explains the small numbers of the program. Although Katie conducts extensive outreach, finding highly motivated youths whose parents will part with them is a continuing challenge.
For many Hispanic communities or English language learner communities, opportunities like this are not the norm. So the challenge for the ARC program has been getting more and more families involved and understanding what the program is. So our challenges in recruitment are not so much that we don't have kids that are interested when we recruit initially. We have at least double or triple interest initial. But there are so many challenges for these kids. For instance, some kids need to work for their families and they need to make more money. Many of them have families that are very strict and don't want their daughters in particular to leave the home.
Jeff Brown is the manager of UC Berkeley's Sagehen Creek Field Station, and during the 40 days is a continuous presence in the students' lives. It was Jeff who invited the ARC program to set up camp at Sagehen. What's a high school literacy and leadership program doing it at a university's science outpost.
Well, we have a dual mission at Sage Hen. Our primary mission originally was research. Well, we split that to about half research and half education. So why are we running a literacy program? Well, if you look at how this literacy program is set up, it's more than just literacy. A big chunk of what these kids experience is outdoors. I mean, they're backpacking, they're sea kayaking, they're rock climbing, they're doing a ropes course. They're living in an environment that most of them have never actually lived in before.
Katie recalls the pivotal moment when Jeff invited ARC to Sage Hen.
And I connected with Jeff Brown from Sage Hen Creek, and he said, yes, we can put you in the Leopold cabin area of the field station, and you can use our computers and our kitchen and our washers and our dryers and all our resources, and we'd love to have you, and we are really interested in student outreach. And I thought, oh my gosh, I have a place. This could actually happen. Oh no, I really need to make it happen.
You're listening to All About ARC. I'm Carolyn Crane. Thanks for joining me. Half the ARC program is focused in base camp, which we've visited. The other half consists of various field trips and expeditions, including rock climbing, sea kayaking on Lake Tahoe, a ropes course, and backpacking in the High Sierra. The ropes course is especially important for the students. Katie explains.
We design the program so that everything is timed, so that there are many pivotal moments throughout the course, but then we ask the students at the end which ones were the most impactful for them. And the ones that traditionally come up are the ropes course, and partly that's because ropes courses are inherently meaningful and incredible for students, but partly it's because of the timing that it's placed in the course. It's right smack in the middle, right as they're about to embark upon a different kind of experience. They're more independent, they do group work together at the ropes course, and they make a commitment to the course that they haven't made. Maybe they said they'd made before, but we share commitment bracelets, and the students make a commitment to supporting each other and to graduating at that point. So it's not only the fact that they overcome their fears and they try everything at the ropes course, but it's really intertwined with where they are in their own personal growth, how many other risks they've taken, and the risks they know they're going to be taking afterwards.
During the last week of the program, students and teachers plan for and take their final expedition. Beth, one of the teachers, helps the students plot their course. They will be the leaders, and the teachers will follow behind, keeping the students' safety in sight, but letting them make pivotal decisions.
So the closer you listen, the easier you'll have when you guys are in your separate groups writing those up. So right now I'm sending out maps for the students to look at, and with this, since this is their last trip, they're going to be planning their route, and they're writing a detailed account of where they're going and how they're going to go and elevation gain and loss and where they're going to stop and break and where they're going to camp for the night. So what we do is, before we leave with them, we set out the whole route with all our maps, and a group sits down with the map and looks at the route and then writes in a detailed description where they're going, and then they use that description when they're traveling to help them with their navigation. You guys can choose your route. Remember Katie said you can come along here along the trail and then swing up this, what's this feature called?
Nose.
Yeah, you can decide you want to cruise up the nose, or you can decide you don't want to swing out here and cruise up the nose, you want to go up this way, okay? So maybe you want to say write two options in your TCP, okay? And is it a good idea to go up straight up like that?
No. Let's go down over here today.
You want to follow probably the most mellow sloped area.
Yeah.
Okay? So then you're going to get to Castle Peak at what's this elevation?
The students are trucked up to the trailhead at about 8,500 feet. The group takes a moment to circle for goodbyes from Katie and Beth and to hear some words of inspiration from their third teacher, Colin.
Okay, and let's get in tight. I know you guys have heavy packs on, but from this point on, when you guys leave here, you're going to be making all your decisions about what side of the creek you walk up, you know, where you need a break, taking care of each other, how quickly you need to move to make sure you don't get there too late, right? You don't want to get there after dark. Okay? So, you guys think you're ready for this?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't sound that convincing. You guys think you're ready for this?
Yeah!
All right. Okay. I'd like to start off by giving these beads, because they're now just stay within your group of seven, to Josie, who has the determination to make sure that you guys stay on track today.
Freedom the
loss. All right.
You put this.
Okay?
Yeah. Yo.
Okay?
Okay.
And we have a quote to read you.
Before we read the quote, I'm not traveling with you guys today, so keep your mind sharp, okay? You guys are your own guides. That means you need to be aware and looking around all the time and take care of each other again. Take care of each other too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to leave you with a few words here from the Hopi elders. So do you know who the Hopi are?
No.
They're a Native American tribe from the Southwest. They're down around Arizona and the Grand Canyon, that kind of area. Okay. So this is from some of the older people in their, old wise people in their tribe. There is a river flowing now, very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our heads above the water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. So that's it, you guys. You guys are the ones that you've been waiting for. You've got your family right here. You guys know everything you need to know to go do this expedition. And we think you're ready. Do you guys think you're ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to add?
Just give you a shake. We'll see you later tonight. Okay?
And then it's goodbye. The students have their gear, their maps, and their TCPs. Jeff Brown will pick them up at Castle Peak in 3 days. Once back at base camp, preparations for the last days are underway. The students are having mixed emotions about seeing their parents again. They are also proud of their accomplishments.
Yeah, I got it right. My family probably noticed that I'm going to be more independent. Like, once I'm done eating dinner, I'll wash my own dishes and I just leave it in there. And I'll be waking myself up earlier, probably waking my own dad up at 4 and tell him he has to go to work or something. Or just probably waking up early and going running and doing the normal stuff I probably do here. Except for all those science and English classes around 8 o'clock. I'll leave those for school, but it'll be a big change for my family to get used to me again.
Are you nervous about that?
I'm just excited to see how they're going to react.
I feel strange. I feel two emotions at once. It's kind of mixed together. I feel like once I go home, I'm going to be different. And, like, I'm going to feel really strange because I'm not going to be waking up, like, at 6:30 or, like, at 6 every day to do exercise. I'm going to be like, what am I doing waking up at this time? I'm going to feel really strange. But I'm gonna like being home, the comfort of home. You know, the warmth. But I'm also going to miss here because, like, all, like, these people and all, you guys are going to miss you. Yeah, that's what I feel.
I was, like, really an explosive person. Now, it's going to be strange going home and, like, having people, like, because my family used to call me Dynamite, and, like, having them not call me that no more because, like, how I change here. So it's going to be weird, like, probably at home is going to be a lot quieter than it was before I left and everything. And since it's going to be, like, kind of weird, like, being able to talk to my parents without, like, screaming at them and stuff.
The ARC program costs about $4,000 per student, and in its present form, serves at most a dozen students per year. Richard Ortiz, a Sacramento County parole officer, is a mentor for the program. He says the investment is worth it.
And when we talk about cost effectiveness, I think you look at the big picture in terms of youth. And what I always say is you pay now, pay later. For example, the cost to incarcerate inmates here in California runs about $34,000 a year. Okay. Now, that's not an exact figure. It's about that amount. And the cost for various programs in the community, I'm sure it's a lot less than that. It costs, what, $34,000 to send a kid to a university at Stanford, for example. So when you talk about $4,000 investing in a child, I go back to pay now, pay later. $4,000 compared to the $34,000, it's a big difference. So any program that can impact youth in a positive way is worth the time and money.
Jeff Brown and Katie Faces would like the program to get bigger. For that to happen, they need an influx of dependable cash.
You know, the Sagehen Field Station is part of a University of California-wide group called the Natural Reserve System, which is 35 reserves that are within the state of California that represent a bunch of different ecosystems. And there's probably six or seven of these reserves that would have the facility to actually support an ARC program. So an easy way to grow the program would be to develop some staff and then move this to another field station that actually had the facility to be able to provide, you know, that foundation that you need to make this thing work. We're working with another reserve down by Santa Barbara, the Sedgwick Reserve.
Yeah, so our concerns in terms of growing the program are keeping the bar high, impacting as many students as possible, and securing funding for the long term. And ultimately, securing this program is includes growing and includes reaching out to funding opportunities outside of just the local area. This local area has been incredibly supportive in helping us get this off the ground, but I think we can make a bigger impact. And the opportunity to work with the University of California Natural Reserve System Network is a really unique opportunity and really exciting.
Some support has come from the Tahoe-Truckee Unified School District, where Lori Martin is Director of Youth Services. She explains the help the district has been able to provide and discusses Katie's determination to make ARC a reality.
Funding is tough. When Katie first came to me with this concept, we thought, well, there are some district monies that would help support the program, which have continued. And she really coined the term trick-or-treating for funding her program, which is going from grant funder to service club to local foundations, school district. And that is a very difficult way for one person to run a program, for sure. She has carried on a great deal of that fundraising herself. We would love to see funding that would really support the infrastructure of the program, which is often not what funders want to fund. They want to fund the cool stuff, sponsor a student, that kind of thing. So we're working with her to see if really we could find some long-term ongoing funding that would support the infrastructure, either through the partnerships and in-kind and matching kind of funding, or an organization that would truly partner over the long term. The district can support it to a degree each year, but not enough to fully fund the entire program, certainly.
Katie's journey to creating ARC was over 10 years in coming. After teaching with Outward Bound for a decade, she obtained her master's in education from Stanford University. While at Stanford, she evaluated literacy and leadership programs and began envisioning a new type of program. After she got her master's, she went on to get teaching credentials and teach in Bay Area and Truckee schools, learning firsthand about the needs and challenges of English language learners. Then she began seeking funding. Once again, Lori Martin at the Tahoe-Truckee Unified School District.
I believe in the possibilities, and seeing something that was really unique, really student-centered, and that integrated so much learning and experiential education really excited me, and the director of curriculum and instruction was also excited. However, working in a government system like public education, there are many things that we needed to connect and assure that would be covered in order for this to be a district-sponsored program.
A few months after the 2005 art graduation, I go with Katie to visit Tanya, one of the graduates from Truckee.
So here we are on our way to a home visit. How many home visits, Katie, have you made since the inception of the ARC program?
Last year I made about 20, and the year before I made, so probably about 40 home visits. And those are for the students that light up and spark when I talk about it, that tell me that they're very interested. I go to the home, I like to meet the family, show them that I'm a teacher, talk to them about the strict rules about boys and girls and where they sleep and all of that that we've already discussed, and explain the program in my own words, and show them that I care about their kids, and that makes a big difference in getting their permission to have their kids come with us for 40 days.
What are some of the things that strike you when you make these home visits that might not occur to you if you were only seeing the students at school?
Well, first of all, I see the reality, the economic reality that many of our students live in, and the size of the trailer or an apartment with no kitchen, or, you know, we have a range of students, some students that have more resources than others, and it's helpful for me to understand that in a home visit and know how to offer resources to particular students that need more than other ones.
Katie and I sit with Tanya and her parents in the small, immaculate trailer that houses the family of five. Tanya's parents do not speak English.
Adelante, y ya subiste este escaloncito, ahora vamos a subir otro, y así vamos.
Mm-hmm. Can you translate? Yeah, she said that I always, she always tell me that everything can be possible. And then when I accomplish it, I go up one step, and then I will try to go another step higher and another step higher. So she always tells me that when I reach one thing, I have to try to go to the other step higher so I can be in the top. She always tell me that.
Truckee Suroptimists, inspired by a talk Tanya gave at one of their meetings, have set up a college fund specifically for her.
And she got up and she read part of her essay, and she talked to the group about her learning and who she is and how she changed and how she feels about the program. And she got a standing ovation from about 100 people, and some members of the audience were crying, and she was so moving and so articulate in the fact that she had learned to be a stronger person, learned to give to her community, that her goals were expanded, that she was going to be the first person in her family to go to college. She moved everyone in the room.
Other ARC graduates tend to echo Tanya's success. They feel that although they face real challenges as English language learners, the Adventure Risk Challenge program has helped level the field and empowered them to succeed. You've been listening to All About ARC. To learn more about the Adventure Risk Challenge program, visit UC Berkeley's Sagehen Creek Field Station website at www.sagehen.ucnrs.org. Funding for All About ARC was provided by the Placer County Office of Education in Auburn, California. This program is available for download or as a podcast at www.carolyncrane.net. I'm Carolyn Crane. Thanks for listening.